Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively Acostas Inn in fantastic Dundalk. Some people call it Sparrow's Point. Sparrow's Point's that way. We're still going to take the 21222 here. It is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm getting down to my last handful, my accordion of Raven Scratch. Also, I got to get Roz to give me some of these or some of those gingerbread scented. They're not scratch and sniff. They're not sniffers. They're scented. They also have peppermint ones for the holidays. But been giving these away. I hope I have some lucky folks here. You know, one thing is when you give a lottery ticket away in Dundalk, people say thank you very much. And I'm like, well, I don't know if you won or not. And the fellow says, I already feel like a winner because you gave me one. And I'm like, that's cool. Because they also have second chances on the back. And I'm going to get to Stan Jablonski and second chances here in a moment. Window Nation also sponsors us. 800-866-90-NATION. Did I say 800? 866-90-NATION. Nation. I said 800. That was my old number. Sporting News Radio was 800 number. Window Nation is easy. Buy two, get two free. 5 years, 0% financing through the holidays. And our friends at Jiffy Lube, MultiCare. I get my oil change. I brag all the time. Merritt Boulevard here in Dundalk. I had my little orange thing go on a couple weeks ago. We took care of that. They'll take good care of you as well. Second segment, we did a long, long segment with the folks from Leukemia Lymphoma Society. I did everything I could do to not sign up to be the visionary of the year. I tried to convince them I'm not a visionary. I'm not a man of the year. I'm not at that stuff. But Stan Jablonski was over here nodding his head, signing me up. And you believe that they're going to Johnny Bravo me, right? You believe this?
Well, you know, I was your high school friend, and I was over there envisioning that you wore some really cool sunglasses at school or something that had something to do with it.
Are you saying I was cool in high school? Don't tell people that, man. They'll never believe that, Stan. Stan Jablonski's my high school friend. He's been on the program before at Drug City. He does not live here. It is true serendipity that you wind up in Dundalk when I'm doing the show here. You wrote to me a couple weeks ago, hey, I'm in Dundalk for a week with my mom. You're doing the show. I want to come by. And then I suckered you onto being... You're getting snookered onto the show in the way that they're trying to snooker me into visionary, but I wanted to have you on because Paul Satterfield's on his way over. He's principal at Dundalk High. And your father and your family, when I think of Dundalk, you are entrenched in the community here. Your father worked at Dundalk High. He was a longtime science teacher. By the way, I had George Shulin on. Did you see Shulin on
yeah,
the show?
I did.
I had Shulin on the show with for my birthday down at Drug City. Your father and George Shulin and Dave Fantasi and a bunch of other really good people made up the science department at Dundalk High School. I mean, you knew the periodic table of elements by the time you were in, like, middle school, right?
I did. With a chemistry degree at that, too. But, yeah, my dad was there for almost 30 years. My parents started their careers at Dundalk High. They met, fell in love.
Your mother was a teacher, right?
She did. Yeah,
Your daughter's a teacher now.
She is. She teaches second grader.
You're a family of teachers,
yeah,
right?
We are. God bless them.
Right.
Yeah.
What'd you teach anybody?
Teach anybody anything, so.
Well, Stan's back from Chicago. You've lived in other places, but you've traveled the world. So I was telling folks today, my wife is in Paris right now. She's at one of our favorite restaurants having a little like steak and French fries and doing it up on, you know, one of those avenues, Rochefort or whatever they were. And I said that to you today, and you're like, oh, I love Paris. I used to go every year. Dude, you're the most world-traveled person there's ever been from Dundalk. Like, seriously, right?
I mean, yeah,
is there anywhere you haven't been? You've been to Moscow?
I've been to Moscow
okay.
twice.
All yeah. right. You've been to St. Petersburg?
No.
You've been to Haiti?
No.
You've been to South America, everywhere in South America?
Oh, yeah, everywhere, yeah.
Asia?
Multiple times, yeah.
Yeah. You worked for an Asian company for a long time,
I did.
Right?
I worked for a Japanese company for a long time.
You've been to the Philippines?
No.
You been to Singapore?
Not really. Kind of went
Jakarta? Anything like that?
Nah.
Middle East?
I went to Australia.
Dubai?
I've been to Israel. That's as
been
close
to Israel.
As I can.
Okay. All right.
Had a great time.
Been
in
to Africa? South Africa?
That Africa and Antarctica are the only two continents I haven't been to. So gotta check those off one of these days.
Well, so here's the cool part about Stan. Stan and I met first week of high school. Same time I met Don Moeller. So it was September of 1982. Stan had already been there because I came from a junior high, not a middle school, right? So you had middle school. You spent ninth grade at Dundalk High. I spent ninth grade at Hollabird Junior High at the time. So it's a long time ago. So I met you then, And your dad's in the biology, science space. I was always the reporter guy, right? I remember you played on the football team, and I had to spell your name right in the newspaper, me and Kevin Eck, writing for the Dundalk Owl. And, like, all these years later, but, like, you surfaced in my life in the late 90s in Chicago, and you're working for this company, and I wasn't traveling. I barely had a passport at the time. And you had, like, traveled all over the world through your job. What could you tell somebody, what could you tell the younger person of Stan in 1982 about seeing the world, being a kid from Dundalk? Because, you know, when you're in Dundalk, you see the world as like Towson, Ocean City.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Disney World once in a lifetime, yeah, maybe, right?
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've been fortunate to go around the world and just to embrace the different cultures and differences in the world. You know, it's just fantastic, you know.
You were the guy I called all my life when I'm, like, going to Buenos Aires for the first time.
Well, it's funny.
Or I'm going to Paris for the first time. Or I'm going to England, London. I'm like, call Stan. He's been there. Call Stan. He's been there. So, I mean, you don't look all that impressive, but your passport's something, dude, you know?
Well, it's funny. You know, as a kid, you take Flat Stanley around. You take pictures, and, like, Flat Stanley went to different places. And I still remember I was in Puerto Madero in Buenos Aires, and I had the Purple Rain, one of your Purple Rain books that I took to one of our favorite restaurants and steak
restaurant. My favorite restaurant in the world. Yeah, the best restaurant I've ever been to in the world was in Buenos Aires.
That was fantastic.
So anybody wants a tip, it's called Cabana Las Lilas. And it wasn't my tip. I think the New York Times called it the best restaurant in the world 25 years ago or something. And I saw it, and we went there. We sat down and ordered. And not thinking like, I mean, it's kind of a cowboy gaucho steakhouse. It would remind you of a Texas or like a Wyoming cattle, you know, it's not Ruth's Chrissy, it's not white tablecloth-y, but they bring you empanadas, and it was just the best meal I've ever had in my life. It was so good that two nights later, we went back.
Yeah.
So we went back twice on four nights. We could eat dinner anywhere you want. Buenos Aires has 15 million people, so, like, you know, it's New York times about three.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a densely, incredibly populated place. And my story from that trip is in 06, because I called you, and you had never been there, and you've been there a couple times since. I sent you there, right?
Yeah.
Afterward. So we share these ideas, but the first time I was there was in 06, and we had an American newspaper at the Marriott we were staying at. Not an American, English newspaper, not American. English periodical in Argentina, and on the cover was this young soccer superstar, Lionel Messi.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked, and you know, all these years later, when you think about the culture of soccer and spending any time in Argentina, to try to explain to somebody from Dundalk what soccer culture is like
that
in
was
Buenos Aires, it's incredible.
That was one of the coolest experiences I had. I was fortunate to see Argentina play Chile in a World Cup qualifier in Buenos Aires. And
River Plate? Where was it?
Yeah, it was in River Plate Stadium, and it was phenomenal.
I saw the Stones there, so that was good.
You know, and Messi's a little guy, but the stuff he can do with a soccer ball is unbelievable.
You saw Messi play at the River Plate in Argentina.
In a World Cup qualifier.
In a World Cup qualifier.
Yeah. And it was bizarre because the Chile fans, you know, these people don't like each other in sports, you know?
At all.
You can go to a game here and you have the other team and the fans, they annoy you, but you all get along at the end of the day. Well, in the River Plate Stadium in Buenos Aires, they look like prisoners almost. There's like barbed wire around it.
Yeah, it's a cage.
They literally hold up the rest of the fans until the opposing fans have time to leave and like get away from the stadium. It's crazy. It's bizarre.
I was told when I was in Brazil, there was a game and I probably should have done this, right? As we sit here, Geddy Lee is playing, and if you've seen the Rush in Rio video of 200,000 people singing the words to YYZ, there are no words to YYZ. They were just singing the melody. So that was at the Maracanã Stadium. It's like it's the biggest stadium in the world. You can check that out. But you can see Maracanã from Rio and off in the distance if you're up on the hill, if you're up at Corcovado. And I remember there was a game at Maracanã that day. And it wasn't a particularly good matchup. It wasn't going to be 200,000 people there that day. But I asked people if we should go to the game, and they told me, don't take your wife to a soccer game. Literally, that's what they told me. Hmm. They said, don't take your wife. You don't want to take your wife there. I had many people tell me that in 2006. So for that reason, we went to see U2 in Sao Paulo. We saw the Stones on the beach in Ipanema and Copacabana, but we did not go to Maracanã because I was led to believe it wouldn't be a really tolerable place for my wife in 2006.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't see a soccer game in Brazil.
Yeah. That was a good
experience. I didn't feel safe.
Yeah, I never went to a soccer game in Brazil, but the one I went to in Argentina was pretty cool.
I bet you went to one of those steakhouses like the Fogo de Chão, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody goes to one of those.
Yeah,
that's a real thing, by the way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When you go to Brazil, that's real. That's true Rio cuisine when you're there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Stan Jablonski's from Dundalk. He's been all over. I didn't know where this was going to go, but I think it would speak to when Paul Satterfield gets here. And we start talking about Dundalk High School, just the possibilities of life here in the 70s and 80s. We've talked so much about the plant. When John Allen did the show with me with Aaron Tamarchio, we talked about the point. So your dad, your experience in Dundalk was, your dad was a teacher, science teacher at Dundalk High. My dad's experience was stopping at Costas on Friday after getting his paycheck and bringing us home shrimp, maybe getting a beer here. I don't think he ever went to Gales or Memories. My dad wasn't like, but my dad would always come to Costas, and when he left, he would always bring steamed shrimp home for my mom. That was, my mom would say, yeah, bring me some shrimp. So it gave my dad a place to stop and get a beer with a work buddy, get a free ride home. But my dad took the bus. My dad took the number 4 and the number 10 bus to Bethlehem Steel in the 1970s when I was a kid. And we did the show at Drug City last year, and they told me at the Museum of Industry, the Baltimore Museum of Industry on Key Highway, that there was an exhibition that honored the point, that honored the people of Sparrows Point, the people that worked at Bethlehem Steel, that fed all of our families, not your family, but all of your father's students, parents, all worked at the point or worked at GM, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was
right?
A workman's town. Always
yeah,
has
I mean,
been.
Right. So I finally made it to the Museum of Industry the other night. I was the MC for the American Cancer Society Hope Lodge event, Evening of Hope, that they had. David Modell was honored by his wife, Michelle. It's very, very emotional. And support the Hope Lodge if you can. But I went down that night, and I got there early because I'm the MC, and I'm trying to shave and look nice and know where to stand and do all that. Raid Raoul's Atlantic Caterers buffet. By the way, have you ever seen a mashed potato bar, Stan?
No, that was cool. I saw that the other
day. You saw that on my thing, right?
Yeah, I did.
That's Raoul from Atlantic Caterers. So they had a mashed potato bar at this museum industry. So I went in. Stan, it's unbelievable. There's a whole room that's an exhibit to the point, and then there's the outdoor like exhibit that it's half the size of the wall here at Costas. I mean, it's a nice 60-foot-long exhibit with the entire history of our community, of Dundalk, right? And of Steel and Bethlehem Steel. And John brought this name up. It was a very purgative name, but like a camp community where you like lived and worked. A work town, kind of like something that should be illegal, right? I mean, where you lived in the community, you worked for the, this is 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Where, like, you were not a slave, but, like, a slave to the company.
Sure.
Like, you couldn't leave. You know, they held your residency and your job, right? You know, there wasn't a lot of freedom. But all of this began down here 100 years ago. And my father signed up to come to Baltimore to work at Martin Marietta during the war. Met my mother in Essex. But my dad worked at the point from 1962 until 1988, and he died in 1992. So, you know, my dad spent the end of his life down here, and your father was teaching kids like me, whose fathers all worked there. Dundalk has such a rich history, and like that, I think, and people go places from Dundalk, and people leave Dundalk and live, make a life in Chicago with kids and a wife, and come back and take care of their mother. But your parents never left Dundalk. Your mother's still here
in the same house, yeah. And both of my sisters still live in the area, and yeah, this is always my home, you know.
What do you tell people in Chicago about Dundalk when they say, "Hey, Stan Jablonski, where are you from?" Yeah, you know, all that Midwestern, you know, all that stuff. So you say I'm from Baltimore, right? You don't have to say Dundalk,
right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
If I say Dundalk, nobody knows that. So.
Right? I think you're from Ireland if you say that, right? So you say Baltimore, what do they say to you? Bang Bang, The Wire, Ray Lewis, what do they say to you? Crabs, what do they say?
Yeah, kind of all of the above. You know, it's got a good and a bad reputation at the same time. But, you know, most big cities do, so. But, you know, the Orioles and the Ravens and the water and the crabs and the crab cakes.
You wear all that, right? You have an Oriole hat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's your thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a Baltimore guy. I always have been.
Do you import anything? I mean, like, do you take Fisher's popcorn back, or do you take Burger Cook, or, like, crab cakes? But your wife's from Chicago. She doesn't like taking anything home to her. She comes here every year for 4th of July. She's like, Heritage Fair. We have better festivals in Chicago. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and
your wife has a really serious Chicago accent.
And she claims she doesn't have an accent.
That's Paul. You should come up. I didn't know you were here. Hold on. You know what? Will we take a break?
Yeah, of course. Let's do it.
I was waiting for Principal Paul Satterfield to get here, but I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure. Come on in. Come on around here, man. This is Stan. He's Dundalk. What we'll do is I'll bring Paul in, introduce him. We'll take a break, and we'll do pleasantries. We were just talking about hopes and dreams and Dundalk, Paul, is what we're talking about. Do I have to call you Principal Satterfield, Mr. Satterfield?
Paul's good.
Paul's good. That's good. Have we met? Maybe
I don't
once.
Think so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I went down to the new school like 5 years ago. How long have you been there?
This is my third year.
That's why we've never met.
Yeah.
It's really nice to meet you.
Yep.
I don't shake hands with a lot of people. This is Stan Jablonski.
Hey, how you doing?
Nice to meet you. He's an alum, class 85, one of my people here. We were just talking about how wonderful Dundalk. Where are you from?
Actually, I'm from Maryland, but Frederick and then D.C. So, D.C. born. Then
what did you know about Dundalk? What do they tell people in Frederick about Dundalk?
This is going to be crazy.
Move this way a little bit. Let's get you in this shot here.
To tell you the truth, I didn't know anything about Baltimore. My dad worked in D.C., was in the Air Force, that kind of thing, and joined the government. And I didn't know anything about Baltimore, period, when I first was growing up, like the first 8-10 years of my life. I'd watch football, that kind of thing. It's kind of a fun
story. Not an Oriole game, though, no?
No, well, we do watch the Orioles, but like I didn't really put it together. I heard like, you know, NFC and AFC, and to me the AFC was like Kansas City and all that in football, you know. So I was thinking Baltimore was somewhere like way out west or something.
Was this a burgundy and gold thing?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was a Washington fan.
The
AFC seemed like everything far away, so I had no idea until I guess 1982 my sister went to Loyola to go to college, and we went there, and I was like, holy cow, this whole world here. I'm 40 miles away and had no idea it even existed. We were so Washington-centric.
Well, we're kind of provincial. We didn't really care if Washington ever
knew
about us, right?
It's sort of the same thing.
You know, when I discovered Washington with Camden Yards open and, like, everybody started coming up and sitting around reading the Washington Post, I'm like, oh, it's you people. I would see him at Capitals games because I went to Capitals games like that, and I would see him at the Capitol Center when I would go see Rush or Styx or, you know, a band or something like that. But I didn't think much of it. Like, Washington was a long way away from Colgate, from Colgate East Point. Like, my dad never drove, so anywhere the bus went was where we went, right?
Right.
Okay. So the bus didn't go to D.C., you know what I mean? The bus went downtown. And that's what I was saying to Stan, because Stan and I were talking about having been all over the world and traveling. He lives in Chicago now. Okay. Like, there is something... it's a little worrisome, provincial. Provincial can be a bad thing.
I
mean, you got to get out of your space to some degree.
Definitely.
And that would be something for me with growing up in Dundalk. I don't know that I grew up around a lot of people that had been a lot of places, right? And during that era. And I think it's all that more important when people have been places to come back and say, you need to get out and experience the world
a
little bit.
It's okay to come back, but go see some stuff.
And I think that's one of the things that... So Stan, tell them about your dad, and then we'll break. Because his dad's a special guy.
No, I got the whole family history of Dundalk High School. So my parents both were high school teachers. They both started in 1960. So they both started at Dundalk High. They met. They fell in love. So I have an older and a younger sister. So my mom, after she raised the kids, she finished her career at Patapsco. And then my dad taught at...
She moved down. I mean, we ain't gonna talk like
she
that.
She did. We're a little biased, But my dad was a biology and a chemistry teacher. He taught at Dundalk High for almost 30 years. Both of my brother-in-laws are Dundalk High School graduates. So
his daughter's a teacher in Chicago.
Yeah, my daughter's a second grade teacher now, so
good
runs
stuff.
In the family for sure.
Yeah, man. Fantastic. So you got real Dundalk blood here. So I'm going to take a quick break because I want you to tell him and I want you to offer him the tour that you're going to offer him.
Absolutely.
But I was honored in 2000 in late 17. Derek Mackey got in touch with me, and I covered Derek's teams at Patterson High. I was the music critic at the Sun in the 80s, but also covered minor league hockey. But I was on the prep beat. I did a lot of high school sports in the late 80s. So I covered high school softball, basketball, lacrosse, all that. And Derek wrote me, you know, he said, you're not in the Dundalk Hall of Fame, and you should be. And I'm like, It's like these people telling me I'm supposed to be man of the year, visionary of the year. Yeah. I met Alice Cooper a couple weeks ago. First thing I told him was I wasn't worthy. You know what I mean? So Derek's like, we're going to put you in a Dundalk High Hall. You've been nominated, he said to me. I'm like, who nominated him? He said, me. He said, you should be in. And I'm like, look, man, you know, I wrestled not well. You know, Stan was a really good football player. Yeah. You know, I had friends that were good athletes there. He's like, no, your contributions. I'm like, look, if you're going to put me in the Dundalk High Hall of Fame, I'm not going to argue with you. Although I did spend an hour arguing whether I could be the visionary of the year for the LLS campaign. But so he said, hey, we're going to put you in Hall of Fame. Really weird thing happened. My mother died that summer. So I was being honored in, I want to say it was late September, early October, that they had the Hall of Fame night at the school. And so my mother died, and I was quite emotional about all of it and doing it. And I went out that night. I gave the worst speech ever. Highest award I'm ever going to be given in my, other than Visionary of the Year. I'll have a better speech when I win that for Leukemia Lymphoma Society. But I went that night. I was a mess. I was a wreck. But the thing that wrecked me more than anything, and it will wreck you, especially your father, and you know where your mother is in life and you being a Dundalk guy, is I went down there that night, and I knew emotionally, spiritually, it was a completely new school. Like, our school's gone. Like, yeah, they ripped it down. And I'm
not
still pissed
the
at them.
Spot.
And I'll be pissed for life about this, because the day that they demolished the jock lot, they had a gathering at 2 o'clock on a Sunday in the middle of a Raven game. And like, I couldn't go. I mean, it was in November. I think they were playing the Raiders that day or something. I'm like, don't do that on a Raven game day. Do that at 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Well, my kids got Little League. But don't do it in the middle of a Raven game. So I never saw the implosion of it. I saw some video and pictures and people that went down or whatever. And it kind of was heartbreaking for me. Like, I didn't want to, it was like when they ripped down 33rd Street, I didn't want to go down there and look at it. I mean, I couldn't drive down 33rd Street for a long time after my father died. So all this happens at the same time, 17, 18. My cat died like a week before this thing happened. My mother died a month before it. So they put me in the Dundalk High Hall of Fame. And I went there that night. And I want to tell you, I was like a zombie, but it was a little, I wasn't on drugs, but it was a weird night. We celebrated right here at Costas that night. I remember more about that. It was all very dreamy. There was a football game. It was dark early. We went down, and I went into the high school. Stan, it was like something out of a fever dream, like in a Sopranos episode, because they're telling me I'm at Dundalk High, and they're telling me they're putting me in the Dundalk High Hall of Fame, and I'm in there, and it was like being in a museum. No offense, you work there
exactly
every day.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Like I'm in there, and I'm like, this is a high school? I said to Moeller and Johnny O and the late, great Kevin Kamenitz, who is the one that got it done, you haven't been to the high school yet, right?
I have not, no.
Dude, it's going to flip you out.
Yeah,
it's going to flip you out.
Looks
and for anybody watching this, and I'm wearing my fancy schmancy $10 doesn't fit me falling apart Hall of Fame shirt. It's the thing I'm most proud of, being a Dundalk Hall of Fame. So you know, I've been trying to get you on for, I've been chasing you for about a year and a half. I mean, I've been chasing. So Paul Satterfield is the principal at Dundalk High, the new Dundalk High. Stan's dad was a part of the old Dundalk High and was old, and he's old, and I'm old. And we're in Dundalk. We're at Costas. We're going to be at Pappas next week in Parkville. We're going to be at Coco's 2 weeks from now. We're going to be at Gertrude's on the 29th with Dan Rodericks for his incredible show, Baltimore You Have No Idea. We're going to be at Hollywood Casino on the 1st with Tom Kelso telling some stadium shenanigans going on. With talk about money building schools, shenanigans going on. We're going to be at State Fair on the 5th. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, and the Maryland Lottery, and we're giving some Raven scratch-offs. I did not give Katie and Dominic Maryland Lottery scratch. She's not eligible. She's 4 months old. You have to be a certain age to play here, but we're going to do that as well. Make sure you're participating. Paul's going to come back and tell Stan about the new Dundalk High School. I have not been in since that night. I want to come with you whenever he has us over, because
you gotta come back.
I'm in the Hall of Fame, and I've never seen my name.
That'd be cool.
My name wasn't up yet. They put me in. I cried. I left. I didn't even sing the alma mater, but I'm going to do that on the program. Paul is the principal at Dundalk High. He's going to talk some Dundalk things. Stan is my world-traveling buddy who deserves a Maryland Lottery ticket, even though he's an Illinois resident. And we're going to come back. Raskin Global also making a part of this. This is This is such ingenuity that I'm surprised somebody from Dundalk didn't come up with it.
It's awesome.
This is this. You open the beer with this side, and you crack the crab with this side, and you promote Raskin Global and empowering people to choose their financial future on this side. I'm Nestor, back for more from Costas. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm going to order a crab cake broil because that's the way they do it here. Fried because that's the way my mom liked it, and that's Dundalk style to me. We're going to continue on from Costas and talk Dundalk High. Stay with us.